The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What percent chance do you give this Major League Baseball season of finishing?
Well, I said yesterday, was it 84%?
Was it that high yesterday?
Yeah, 84%. And feeling a little better about that, okay, as we all know the Marlins, which is now up to 17 players and coaches and staffers who have tested positive for COVID-19 for the Marlins. Mm-hmm. But the rest of baseball is zero.
Yeah.
Every other team, including the Phillies, are all at zero.
You got the Astros here in Houston. Then in Corpus, you have Arcady Alvarez, and now that's where Fernando Rodney's probably headed to,
right,
as well.
The Astros have two satellite facilities. Mm-hmm. So you've got Minute Maid, and then you got UH, and then you got Corpus.
Right.
So they've got some kind of like extended spring training for guys to work out, pitch simulated games, get their BP, get their work in, etc., so that if they are called up, they're ready.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick Britton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the Atron P listener line, on the text line, on Twitter. At P. Creighton 1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters. Aaron Raybould on the side of the glass, at the Master Controls, at Aaron is Blitz, at ESPN 97.5, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. So our buddy Magnificent Turd tweeted at us this buffet at the men's club, which literally is down the block.
Right.
I didn't know that until I saw the the thing that he sent us.
Is your wife listening to the show? Is that why you're clarifying that?
No, she can't listen. She'll be like, yeah, whatever. Go look at them. Leave me alone.
Nice.
Well, they put like the whole little flyer and mm-hmm. had the address.
Yeah, right.
The address is right here.
Nice.
He said it's a $10 cover.
Yep.
Free prime rib, free seafood, and dollar beers.
All right, Aaron. I don't know. Aaron, are you in a relationship where you can go to the strip club? Does it not matter? I know some women just, I mean, it's just like, oh, you're just going to go look at flesh. No biggie.
No.
You're not in that. AJ and Fred, are they? Like, is this the dollar beer and the seafood buffet primary?
Could you see them going? And dollar beers.
No.
All right. Yeah, there's nobody I can see. Well, I don't want to say nobody. Lou Williams would be there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Miami Marlins would be there. But outside of that, he's in Orlando. He's in the bubble. That's why they made the bubble. So Harden, they're like, listen, Harden, we're going to help me help you. I'm going to put you in the bubble, and we won't open up these strip clubs with the $10 buffet, prime ribs, seafood, and dollar bottle beers.
So do you want to go try the $10 prime rib and seafood buffet? Because 10 bucks for prime rib and seafood is stupid cheap.
Yeah, but it's
just prime
also
rib for 10 bucks.
It's also really cheap to give up your health. It's like, oh man, I ate that prime rib seafood buffet back on July 28th, 2020, and I died of COVID.
I'm just saying, do you want to try a $10 buffet?
You have to eat three times in a day. One meal out the day, I'm not putting my health at risk.
I don't know, man. If you have a $10 all-you-can-eat buffet of prime rib and seafood, that's probably the only meal you're going to eat that day. Because you're going to eat like
at a strip club? I don't know. I'm gonna take the
shrimp
over.
Shrimp and lobster, and you're not eating again. You're going to be stuffed.
Somebody will be, but hey, I don't think it's going to be you
gonna
at the strip
You're going to get
stuffed,
club. And then you're going to stuff someone.
Absolutely. It's a turkey. All right. Also, on Twitch, we got this. Mark says, just have two ladies per player, then the players can trade them daily. That way, you don't have the same every day. And I replied back. I'm like, I love the idea. It's like Netflix back in the day when they were mail order. You get two. You keep them, use them, do whatever you want for as long as you want. When you're done with those two, you're bored, you're tired, you've already seen that movie. See how I punned it? then you send them back and get two more.
I feel like that would not be a problem for NBA players.
Because they share them. They're all Eskimo brothers. They share them anyway.
Isn't that the whole thing? Oh, well, you know, this guy on that team, he shacked up with this porn star for a week. So now I'm going to go shack up with the same porn star that like 9,000 other dudes have been with because that's what I'm into.
If you're
that's a thing in the NBA. I can't tell you why.
If you're with an athlete and you've been with them a month, a year, 10 years, I don't care. And if you believe that athlete only has one phone, you've been cheated on. Because every athlete has two phones. The only thing is whether you know it or not.
No, every athlete has one phone for every hand in the entourage.
Oh, every athlete has one phone for business.
The head of security.
And the cookie phone. It's like the bat phone. But when it rings, you're heading out immediately for the cookie.
You got two phones. Your head of security got two phones. Your three bodyguards got two phones. All right, everybody got two phones.
Yeah, it's so.
And on each one of those phones, there's a regular line, and then there's a Google Voice line. Like you got like four lines on each phone.
I remember talking to one former NFL player just used to tell me, and he would like show me these texts and different things. He's like, "Man, is the women get passed around in sports circles?" Like communion. You know, that's probably the worst comparison, but I mean, everybody's opening their mouth.
And we're all now officially going directly to hell.
But I mean, I want to just stick with it because it feels too late to eject from this. So as in communion, everybody comes up and opens their mouth and takes the bread and the wine, right? Well, these ladies, they... You know,
they open their mouth, they take... Yeah,
similar parallel.
Bread.
Yeah, so very similar parallel in that sense. But also, one athlete who will remain nameless was talking about, he played in the NFL, and this other athlete, well-known, very well-known, played in the NBA, and they would talk about how petty the back and forth would be because some people would want to make him a housewife and other people want to keep the circulation going. But he would talk about how they, you know, the NBA player would talk trash about the NFL player that was sleeping with them and vice versa. The stories of athletes, imagine the craziest thing you can and magnify it by 10. Their lives are not like ours.
Can't make a hooker a housewife. That does not work.
B. Hannah says, Kevin Gates, I got two phones. He's telling you. He's telling you the game. But with Kevin Gates, it was probably, you know, like back in the day. Well, yeah, I came up in the 90s. So it wasn't two phones. It was the pager and the phone. So the pager was for business and the cell phone was for work. You know, but yeah, Kevin Gates tried to hook you to the game.
I got a text here from Claudia.
Okay.
Who wants to say congratulations to the entire Dash team and organization.
Very, very much well owed. And I mean, if you want to hear more on that, Glenn Davis is on tonight, 7 to 9, right? Following us?
He is.
All right. So this is the perfect time to get in. Listen, I'm going to plead ignorance on this, but we have, it's just as much as Pete Creighton's the mountaintop of baseball knowledge in the city of Houston. That's Glenn Davis. He's been doing it. When I was at 790 before, he was there. When I came over here the first time, ESPN 975, he was here. I went back to 790, and then I came back here, and he's still here. That's how long Glenn Davis has been that voice for soccer in the city of Houston.
He's so, Mr. Soccer.
Yeah, 7 to 9 o'clock tonight. Check out Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 975. When the Blitz in, we'll go right into that. Kudos to the Dash for winning that championship.
DTFO.
Yeah. Okay.
Dash the bleep on.
Is that their saying?
Well, it's dash on. We just throw a little of the bleep in there.
Feel like they could do better. Now that they won a championship, let's get on
you
that.
Kind of like...
dash on!
You know.
That sounds like...
LFGA.
Sounds like some country dude saying Deshaun Watson's name. I tell you, my favorite player, dang, Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Deshaun Watson threw for 400 yards in the game, and I saw it.
Are you familiar with LGFA?
No.
Let's go Astros.
Oh, I've seen the hashtag and stuff like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've seen that one. But I don't watch too much soccer. The only time I think I watch soccer is like World Cup. When USA's in it, I can get in and watch USA. Because just the... Oh, man, I didn't think
about
that.
World Cup, I watch the women. You know why? They win.
Yeah, they're actually great.
They win.
You've got so many of those soccer players that are tied in with other athletes, like Megan. How do you say Rapinoe? I've always said it wrong. All right, Megan Rapinoe, I think she's either married or dates Sue Bird, who we were talking about earlier from the WNBA, or maybe she just supports her. I think they're together. Julie Ertz, Zach Ertz's wife, played for Team USA. Well, we all know about JJ.
Carly Lloyd played for Team USA.
Yeah, I was at a Texans practice one day. I think I was there when she came, or maybe I just remember, but she was actually kicking field goals.
Yes.
Yeah, she was kicking field goals at the Texans inside the bubble.
And they were wondering if
yeah, that was when they were on Hard Knocks.
Was it on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, because it was her versus Will Fork in the bubble.
Oh, you're right. Man, my memory's
and
horrible.
And if Will Fork actually made it, they had ended practice early that day.
Did he make it?
Yep.
Man, my memory's horrible. All I remember about Will Fork that year was the over-covered overalls on Wilford. I mean, like every day everybody was talking about, here's another picture. The coolest thing Wilford did, though, the video, I think it was on YouTube or maybe it was a GIF. You remember when he got to Houston? He's outside and he's grilling barbecue, and what does he have playing? Little Troy, want to be a baller. And he's up here like dancing with his big ass, cooking and all that. Wilford was a cool ass dude, but he wasn't the best to interview, though. Well, unless you were in the clique, you know, outside of that, you got the JJ Watt treatment.
We've been trying to talk about the same thing now for an hour and 15 minutes.
We're on the blitz.
You think we'll try? We think we'll get to
no.
it? Or we will continue to Fred and AJ on their
we're
show?
We're going to Fred and AJ more next on the blitz.
It's the blitz.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is blitzed, and we're pretty much all cut up on the text line, and we're all caught up on Twitch, and we are all caught up on Twitter. We've actually caught up to everything. So we talked earlier about our buddy Michael Schwab putting out some video evidence and picture photo evidence that appears to be the New York Yankees using photographic equipment, cameras, for the purposes of stealing signs.
Is it shock face, Tom?
Give us the shock face.
All right, 3 seconds. We'll do the shock face for this report. All right. 2, 1.
Not much of a shock face.
I mean, this is what we've been saying for, 6 months?
It is.
It's now, exactly what we've been, and more is going to come.
Michael Schwab had said that they had the video of this really high-tech, super zoom-in camera. It is focused on the catcher.
I can't believe that.
And designed to steal signs.
What?
No. And that this happened in the 2018 playoffs.
Mm-mm. No, it didn't happen.
Then he shows some other photos to show, hey, look, this is the signage at Yankee Stadium. And then says, a current player and league source with knowledge confirmed to him this was a video of the Yankees stealing signs during the 2018 playoffs. And they show it's, you know, the Yankees and the A's, and they got the video camera zoomed in, and you see the actual cut here of what's going on and then what's on the video camera. And we know that back in 2017, there's this letter that Rob Manfred sent to the Yankees that in the course of a lawsuit against DraftKings and MLB regarding sign stealing and cheating, part of the discovery process, they've asked for access, that this letter from Rob Manfred to the Yankees be released because they feel it's going to show that Major League Baseball corroborated in squashing the whole sign stealing.
Well, that doesn't sound good, though. But so Major League Baseball and the Yankees should want this to come out, right? So it just proves that there wasn't anything extra behind the scene, right?
Right,
so
who, but that's why they're blocking it.
Who's blocking it?
Major League Baseball and the Yankees.
Wow, that's weird.
They're corroborating together.
Oh.
To keep it squashed.
So they don't want this information to come out?
Correct.
That's odd.
It is odd because usually a non-participatory third party in a court case would have no reason to cooperate with a defendant because they're not a defendant.
Right.
The court case doesn't have any bearing on them whatsoever. So what is their vested interest unless it specifically hides something that they don't want to get out, which clearly is the case. So Michael posted all this stuff on Twitter yesterday, and Twitter exploded
right
on this stuff.
What did John Boy have to say?
Who cares?
It'd be funny, though, to see him just like poo-poo all of it and be wrong like he was with Beltran's niece and the buzzards and everything else except the one thing he got right.
So Andy Martino, he covers, you know, he covers the New York baseball teams for SNY. He covers the Yankees. He covers the Mets. He covers MLB as a whole for SNY Network. Now, SNY is the regional sports network that's owned by the Mets.
Right.
Andy is also working on a book on the Astros sign-stealing scandal.
Really?
Andy's a big Yankees guy.
Oh, okay.
Andy saw Michael's tweets and tried his best to debunk them.
Okay.
And say that he said Major League Baseball has already seen these videos and said nothing to see here. He's not lying.
Mm.
Major League Baseball does know about the videos and has squashed them.
Right.
But it's the Yankees. Now, if that was the Astros, do you think it would have got squashed?
Oh, no, absolutely. Just the speculation of it. And there was all the speculation that has gone into the Astros and stuff they haven't done. I mean, we were having a conversation with a guy who works in the media, covers the Tennessee Titans, even though he doesn't cover baseball. But all the false and just wrong information that he was tweeting to either you or me at the time, and this is somebody in the media, and this is just gets reciprocated all through the media. When it came out that the Yankees might have that letter released to the public, none of the national media really jumped on it and was bagging like, oh, this is a bad look for the Yankees and all that. They don't talk it, and they won't own any of it because they're going to have Manfred's back.
And that's exactly it. And if you followed along both with our show and with what goes on in Major League Baseball, you have seen the national media, all the big baseball guys, they are lock and step.
Same words.
With the commissioner's office. They all use the same words, the same terminologies. They have the same positions on everything.
To a T.
Oh, what the Astros did, it's the biggest scandal ever. What the Red Sox did, oh, yeah, well, it wasn't that bad. It was just one dude.
Mm-hmm.
As if one dude was helping them cheat all season long. The second time.
College-educated, smart, journalistic people that are all carrying the same company line remind you that a ton of baseball writers, like how many baseball writers came out before Canseco and saying when McGuire was hitting 70 and Sosa was hitting 66 and even Bonds hitting 73? Well, maybe with Bonds, they finally start coming out. But when McGuire and Sosa and all of them were doing that and everybody knew, hey, there's something going on in baseball. How many baseball writers called them out and said it? No, it wasn't until Canseco came out. You think baseball writers that had followed the sports, that are some of the most purest, knowledgeable nerds, if you will, that have done research all the way back in the game's history, truly believe that in 1998, that a record set in 1961 by Roger Maris that broke a record set by Babe Ruth in the 20s, 27 when Ruth hit 60? I can't remember the exact year. that all of a sudden, two guys in the same year destroyed a record that nobody else could come close to. If you hit 50 home runs, you entered the 50 home run club, and your name was marked down in history.
Oh, it was a huge deal when Cecil Fielder hit 50 home runs.
He hit 50. McGuire hit 49 as a rookie. These were freakish numbers. Then in the same year, 70, 66. Nah, nothing to see here. But the Astros still signs. Nobody hits 400. Nobody hits 50, 60, 70 homers. No numbers go up. And everybody, this is the worst cheating scandal we've ever seen. Really? Let that set in. These are some of the brightest minds. They're manipulating their audience because they have to stay joined at the hip with the commissioner of baseball, no matter who it is at the time. It's job security.
Think about this as far as like the home run totals go and the difference between steroids and sign stealing, right? Because sign stealing's been going on for 120 years.
Right.
Since Roger Maris hit 61 homers in 61, these are the 50-plus home run seasons in baseball.
I think this is going to open a lot of people's eyes.
1961. Mickey Mantle at 54.
Right, same year. They didn't know who was going to get, and then Mantle got injured late in the season?
Yeah, so basically it's the same season. I don't want to count that. Let's go 62 forward.
Okay.
Because 1962, you have expansion with the Mets and the Colt 45s. So Willie Mays, 1965, hit 52 homers. The next 50 home run season is 1977 when George Foster hit 52 homers as part of the Big Red Machine.
Mm.
The next 50 home run season is not until 1990.
Get him.
When Cecil Fielder hit 51 homers.
It was a huge deal at the time. I remember it.
Albert Bell hit 50 homers for the Indians.
Don't call me Joy.
In 1995.
5 years later, another one.
And somehow didn't win the MVP. In 1996, Mark McGwire hit 52 homers. Brady Anderson hit 50 homers.
Brady Anderson, no, don't go over it. I want people to hear it again. Who else hit 50 homers?
Brady Anderson hit 50 homers. He never hit more than 21 homers in a season before that year. Never hit more than 24 homers in a season any other time in his career.
Sign stealing's worse. I just want to remind you that sign stealing is worse than steroids.
Now, think about how long we went. You went 65 to 77.
77 to 90.
And then 77 to 90.
Yep. 12 or 13 years between each, 65 to 77, 77 to 90. Then you get into the 90s, and you start seeing that uptick, 95, right. 5 years later.
97, Mark McGwire, 58 homers.
Mm.
Ken Griffey Jr., 56 homers.
Mm.
1998, Sammy, 66. McGwire, 70. Ken Griffey Jr., 56. Greg Vaughn, 50.
Four people in 1 year, 97 to 98, four people joined the 50 home run club. I mean,
we'd had three from 1961 to 1990.
So 30 years you had three people join the 50 home run club, and they barely got there. 52, 52, 50. 1995, you start seeing the onslaught. 50 and 95, 52 and 96, 50 and 96, two people in 96, two people in 97, and it jumps up to 58 and 56, four people in 98, 66, 70, 56, 50. All right, so that trend starts in 95. Is there a historical event that happened in Major League Baseball in 1994 before we saw this onslaught?
There is, in fact. It was called a player's strike.
Mm, and baseball ratings after the strike were what?
In the toilet.
So baseball was actually looking at folding, and then league-wide, 50 home runs start busting out the very next year.
Well, yeah, you remember they were talking about contracting the Twins and the Expos because they were all broke.
Listen, believe what you want to be. This is one of the most studied research sports. Like, baseball. They have stats for everything in baseball. And you're telling me an entire industry of reporters didn't know this trend in 95, 96, 97, 98. No, they kept their mouth shut because it's job security. Because in the midst of that, if they don't get to that 98 season where four people hit 50-plus homers and McGuire and Sosa destroy the Maris home run record, if they speak out on it, finally getting baseball ratings back up due to that long ball, their sports collapse and they're all out of jobs. The same thing would have happened if Rob Manfred came out. Red Sox did it. Astros did it. Yankees did it. And half of baseball was doing this. If he punishes them, you're back to 94. It's all BS. You believe what you want.
Of course, 2001, four more guys when Luis Gonzalez hit 57. A-Rod hit 52, Sammy hit 64, Bonds hit 73. We got some calls on the board. We'll get to them next. It's the Blitz.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Crane, Jason Brad again for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. And, we're going to get the phones here in just a second. Somebody said how many, they're talking about the asset, well, that's individually, it's a team event. In baseball, everything is measured in individual stats that accumulate on a team. If the players as a whole, each individually, are not outperforming their usual range of performance by some monster number, then there's no evidence that it helped.
There's actually evidence to the contrary.
We see steroids, guys who went from hitting 20 homers went to 50. There's a hard, tangible proof. All right, the
538.
Jose Altuve did not hit 395. Right? You know, your catchers did not hit 39 home runs. This didn't happen. There is no, the only player who had like what you would really call a big step up in production was Marwin. One dude. If everybody was cheating and it was team-wide, more than one guy would have seen a production increase.
I think a lot
and
of
the difference is Marwin maintained that production increase even after he left the team.
Hmm. I think what a lot of people don't even realize, because it just, again, the national media is not going to pick up any of these articles and different things that debunks the company line that they're towing. The article from 538.
Which was in the LA Times.
Right.
Clearly, look the guys at 538, they're numbers geniuses.
Right.
All right. And they said the Astros basically got no, there was no benefit.
They tracked every pitch, every hit, the splits home and away. Every tangible evidence shows that stealing signs did not help the Astros. Maybe
it was a lot of work
to get marginal.
It was a lot of work to basically get nothing, because when you got it right, you'd get the slightest, and I'm like negligible slight advantage. Okay, I know a breaking ball is coming. I don't know where. I don't know how fast, inside, outside, high, low. I don't know any of these things. I know it's not a fastball.
Look, what Patrick is saying as far as tangible evidence, all of this is documented. You can go to Pro Baseball Reference and look at every player's stats pre-2017, post-2017, and see that there's no tangible evidence of a huge leap in production. You can do the same thing in the entirety of the sport of baseball with the different players that were taking steroids. And also, funny enough, the team that wants an asterisk, one of the teams next to the Astros championship from 2017, the Yankees, had, you know, those last five championships the Yankees won were the most covered teams in history of noted steroid users. No talk of asterisks on any of those five championships.
And here's the other thing you got to remember. They get this very small negligible advantage from sign stealing when they get it right.
Right.
They didn't get it right every time. And when they get it wrong, it is a massive disadvantage because they got the wrong info.
Oh, people forget the information that came out that most of the Astro players had by the playoffs had moved away from it because it was so ineffective. It was messing them up.
They even had the email at midseason, the internal email that came out that said, basically, our sign stealing is ineffective because everybody's on to us and they change the signs before we can break them.
Yeah, so again, Astros cheated. They should be punished for getting caught cheated. The only issue we're taking with this is the thought that they had gained some huge advantage and the fact that they were the lone gunmen, if you will. Over half of baseball has been documented and come out. The same report that these national media quote since the day it's been released, because when it was released, everybody combed through it with a comb, right? I mean, a fine-tooth comb, everybody combed through every word of the report. But since it's been released, nobody mentions anymore that in the report, the Astros told Major League Baseball that at least eight other teams were doing it, that in the report, everything else was documented since then. And at that time, with the Red Sox, the Yankees, reports on the Dodgers, the Tigers.
You know? This is why for 120 years, baseball's response to sign stealing has been, don't do that again or we'll fine you.
Right.
That's it.
The Red Sox were using Apple Watches.
And they got a slap on the wrist. Let's go to the phone. Sam, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I got the peanut gallery in the back. They're future Blitz listeners and future Astros lovers. I'm a former player. I've spent all my time in high school and a little bit of the minor leagues. I played for Oklahoma State before we were in the U.S. military. But what I want to say is, like, we've been learning how to steal signs since we were kids.
Right.
And either sitting on second base or in center field. It was part of the game. It was the cerebral part of the game, is to get a little bit of an advantage on the other team. What I do want to comment on is steroids. Look, there are substances all over the world that can perform and that can enhance, muscle recovery and performance. I'm sorry, I was part of the generation in high school where we were taking, NO2 and creatine to boost our muscle mass so we can just crank it longer.
Right.
Are you saying that, not you, but, everybody else who are not necessarily Astros haters, but the people that don't understand that there was more than one team in the major leagues that was using this. But, come on, to produce muscle mass and muscle recovery, you're not saying that's not at least a little bit more egregious than, say, repeating film of something that they repeat every single day in practice, every single day in practice?
Mm.
Now you're looking at the whole Patriots, Cameragate thing, saying, oh, yeah, we were watching the way they were calling their plays and the way they were setting up their formations. And in baseball, it's all about learning your mannerisms, how far your first baseman steps off the base, where your center field, where your shortstop, hey guys, can you give me a second? Where your shortstop sits, where your second baseman is sitting off the plate.
Sam, we appreciate the call. We're going to have to let you go. You need to go buy some pizzas because those kids sound hungry. Also,
it was a good call. I mean, it was hard.
Now I'm hungry. Yeah. But, he's right about a lot of things. Go buy pizza, Sam. Buy pizzas. That has always been baseball, is noting the pitcher's mannerisms.
It's part of the game.
Is there a tell? Is he tipping a pitch? Is he tipping when he's going to go to first? Is the arm action different from the fastball to the curveball to the changeup to whatever?
Let me ask you something. Going back to those records, so – Do you still have the chart up when you were doing the 50 home run seasons? I want to see what had happened, because it wasn't just an influx. It was then just a drop off when they wanted to start busting steroid users, or just like with Mike Fiers, had to start busting steroid users.
So 2001.
Okay.
Luis Gonzalez hit 57. And he's another guy who never hit more than 30 home runs in his career ever.
Right.
A-Rod hit 52. Sammy hit 64. Bonds hit 73.
Hmm.
All right, the following season, 2002, Tomei hits 52. A-Rod hits 57.
Who was A-Rod on at that time?
He was on the Rangers.
Hmm.
Using the stuff that he tried to hide that his cousin was bringing up.
Right.
All right, then after 2002, 2003, baseball starts talking about steroid penalties, and they're going to do this anonymous steroid testing, which they do in 2004, and they release in 2005, and everything's supposed to be anonymous, and of course that means nothing because names get leaked out left and right.
Exactly.
But after 2002, the next guy to hit 50 homers wasn't until 2005, and Andrew Jones hit 51.
Mm-hmm. At 2006?
David Ortiz hit 54. Ryan Howard hit 58.
Okay.
2007, Prince Fielder hit 50.
The exact same number as his dad.
A-Rod hit 54, this time with the Yankees.
Man, they should have to forfeit any championship they won with A-Rod, right?
Well, they only won one with A-Rod. 2010 is the next year. Jose Bautista hit 54 homers.
Mm-hmm.
That, at the time, doubled his career total.
Really?
Yes. In 2013, Chris Davis hit 53 homers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he hits about 153.
Nice.
After that,
Pete Alonso?
From 2013 to 2017,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge hit 52, and Giancarlo Stanton hit 59. Then last season, Pete Alonso hit 53.
Man, it's almost like something changed in the mid-2000s when the put a stop to the steroid. It was became almost as difficult to hit 50 home runs
but stealing signs
as it was pre-95.
It's the worst thing in the history of baseball. And honestly, I can't believe there are no Astros on this list of 50 home runs. I mean, how is it even possible?
I know. They should at least all had, or at least one player have 50, right?
If they always knew it was coming, everybody should have hit 50 bombs.
It's the biggest scandal ever. At least, and maybe it didn't correlate to power. So somebody hit 400. Altuve had to hit 400, right?
That's a negative.
One of his work. Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
Imagine that. Nobody hit 50 homers. Nobody hit 400. In fact, in 2017, the highest home run total on the team was George Springer, hit 34. Altuve had 24. Correa had 24. Marwin had 23. Nobody else on the team even hit 20. Let's see. Altuve hit 346. Correa 315. Reddick 314. Marwin 303. Nobody hit 380, 390. I don't understand. How could this happen? How could there not be? Hey, Carlos Beltran, who was the father of the program, only hit 231. Guess didn't work out so well for him. All right, we get to our final segment of the day, a little Hey Man, Bleep That next.
I'm speaking to raise the frequency while I'm hurting these hearts and rocking the beat, knocking it out like Mike Tyson.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, it's time for a little Hey Man, Bleep That. So, I'll start here with this one. A woman in Australia who was left bloodied after being attacked by sharks said she still loves sharks. She's a 29-year-old filmmaker. She was in the water off of Queensland when she was attacked by sharks, suffering a possible broken ankle. She's working on a shark documentary. And her answer was, I love sharks. Sharks are beautiful. As she is being walked past camera crews on a stretcher. if I'm on a stretcher and my ankle's busted and I've had my leg ripped apart by freaking sharks, I'm not going to say I love sharks. I'm going to say the hell with the sharks. Hey, man.
Hey, man. F*** that.
All right, I got one here for you. New York governor pans concert where Goldman Sachs CEO performed. David Solomon's side gig as a DJ generated unwanted attention Tuesday when New York governor Andrew Cuomo slammed a concert where the Goldman Sachs CEO performed as illegal and reckless.
Wait, so the CEO of Goldman Sachs, the CEO is DJing at a concert which violates all social distancing and state guidelines.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Cuomo took to Twitter to express his displeasure with the Safe and Sound fundraiser held over the weekend in the swanky beach town of Southampton. Cuomo posted a video of participants, some having paid as much as $25,000, dancing in crowds and seeming to ignore social distancing rules meant to counter the coronavirus. Videos from a concert held in Southampton on Saturday show egregious social distancing violations. I am appalled, said Cuomo. The Department of Health will conduct an investigation. We have no tolerance for the illegal and reckless endangerment of public health. So, as you said, the CEO of Goldman Sachs and part-time DJ raised this money. We're talking about...
I feel like if I'm on the board of Goldman Sachs, I'm a little ticked off.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, but during all of this, we're seeing different sets of rules for people. And I'm just saying, we all got to come together, follow the same rules and get this done. A couple weeks ago, what was it, a month ago, we were complaining about how many people not wearing masks. You see, you're going out in public now. What is it, like 99%? I've seen it change so much. We need people, especially people in positions of power, to do the right thing. And if you're not doing the right thing, I just got to say, hey, man.
Hey, man. that.
So mine falls along the same lines. We talked yesterday and we talked earlier about Lou Williams deciding to frequent a gentleman's establishment. And now, yes, he's got a quarantine. He's going to miss two regular season games as the NBA starts up again. But we're going to go to some audio from Woj, fresh off of his suspension here, about Lou Williams' punishment inside the bubble.
It is a form of punishment to get the 10-day quarantine based on the fact, you know, that he was at a gentleman's club, even if he was just there to eat. I think the NBA believed... that the optics were not good, and it was just not, I think the message, not just externally they want to send about how seriously they're taking this, but internally with others. And I think for Lou Williams, no question, there was a level of punishment there.
So the fact that he has to miss two games while he still sits inside the Disney bubble and gets catered on and gets to do, while he went to the strip club, broke the rules knowingly. If you don't start punishing rich people, elite people, people like this who think the rules don't apply to them, they're never going to learn and they're never going to realize that they're supposed to be the same as all of us.
Ooh.
Just because you're elite doesn't mean you get to make your own rules and do whatever you want. He should have been kicked out of the bubble. He should have been never allowed to return. And if the NBA has to play next season in a bubble, which Chris Paul is saying they might have to do, sorry, you proved you are not responsible enough and you're not mature enough as an adult to follow the rules of the bubble and keep everybody from getting sick. So for that, I'm saying, hey, man, f*** that.
You know what? We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about what should be the punishment if you break the rules in the bubble. And I'm with you. I said, if you break the rules of the bubble, you should be out. Period, the end. Your season's over. Because if you don't have that kind of hard punishment where the season is on the line, these guys are just like, eh. Bleep it. I'll do whatever I want.
I love it. Strong take there. I was going to ask y'all that question. Y'all both answered it. I think it's 3 for 3, 100% across the board. Lou Williams kicked out the bubble, and with the latest news we found out, the Marlins canceled their season. I mean, you're exactly that stupid as a team.
Well, once they trace who was the actual responsible one, if it was three players, you don't punish the other 14. You let them go and go, you know what, you were in the clubhouse with them. That sucks. But if three players went out to a club that night because they were having fun, yep, sorry. No paycheck for you. Get out. That's what the NFL's working
and
on.
And it sends the right message to the whole rest of the country, yeah, like you said.
And the NFL's put it in the new contract of, hey, if you're caught doing something high risk, as far as COVID goes, no payday for you, no season for you, go away.
Hey, you got that sounder up on the text line, 628 said, MLB not opening the Yankees letter.
Hey, man, f*** that.
Damn straight on that.
Glenn Davis next. So those who want to stay around, and you should, anything celebrating the city of Houston, Dash won a championship, and we got the guy next for you right here on ESPN 975 to celebrate it with one Glenn Davis.
All right, appreciate my man Adam Rabel on the other side of the glass. He's Jason Braddock. I'm Patrick Creighton. Hey, you want to get on Twitter? I'll be tweeting from Minute Maid Park tonight. We'll see you tomorrow. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, next.
ESPN 97.5.